75. Imagine nature reduced to a place filled with straight, dry, brittle stems, covered from root to crown with prickly thorns. That is what we ourselves become when we lose the complementarity of masculine and feminine principles. Seventy-six. In the present era, we abandon each other so readily because, both individually and collectively, we deserted long ago the very earth upon which we stand. Without a soil made rich by generations of devotion and care, even the most heartfelt feelings will find no place to set root, no place to call home. 77. Without a shared sense of natural limit with regard to the genders, there is a danger that mere competition between the sexes may take the place of a much deeper complementarity. Once competition has become the dominant force in relationship, division and fragmentation will necessarily increase to the point that both men and women alike cannot help but move, even when sharing the same household, in their own largely isolated, different directions. Children are the ones left to suffer, suspended, as it were, in the chaotic, empty space which results in between. 78. The Dionysian longs for the cold, crystalline nights of mountain winter and the steady, measured movement of ordered, silent stars. The Apollinian longs for the rushing sound of glacier torrents and the wild rhythms and summer passion of earthbound fire. What man or woman or art or culture would not sanction their perfect, fertile union? 79. Consonance in music is like measured rhyme in the rhetorical arts. We desire and are comforted by smooth, even, regular sounds and a harmonious embracing of similar movements. We can go too far, however, as monotonous periodicity becomes the norm, and we get fat and lazy on too much sugar and cream. Dissonance in music is like violence in the literary arts. We want grit, edge, reality. Again, we can go too far, as hypertension becomes habit, and we rigidly stare down dangerous streets full of nothing but shards. Balance between the two. Observe the marvelous middle way of natural language, where soft sensuous vowels dance arm in arm with the consonants, strong, persistent, noisy drum. 80. Aphorisms, the place where logic follows the markings and the flower of poetry to embrace in the sweetness of new meaning. 81. Difference between limit and control. Control imposes order from without by projecting the predetermined thought, conditioned by the past, of what should happen. the need to control invariably increases as the disorderly, unexpected side effects of past efforts accumulate, which results in ever greater unnecessary difficulties or complicatedness. In contrast, limit allows order to emerge from within by determining only what at a given moment should not happen. Limit is therefore open to the future and tends strongly towards ever greater simplicity. Form emerges out of movement. It is the outward envelope of the rhythmic pulse of life. The river creates itself the boundaries of the bed that order and give structure to its flow. 83. Time folds into space like a thread wound into a skein. The one at a time folds into and becomes the all at once, and the myriad differences become co-present. Listen to the notes of melody wind round themselves, becoming harmony, as the piano sustaining pedal is pushed down. That's the sound of time becoming space. 84. In praise of the economy of buds, store up the light and quick energy needed for next spring during the slow and easy months of high summer. Prepare for the worst of winter by making oneself small and motionless against the twig. Forget about absolute size and rigid sequence, knowing that beauty resides in the measured, rhythmic unfolding of the well-proportioned web. 85. Pictures for sale. Nothing fades faster than an art that has descended to the level of being no more than its own commercial. See the flower cluster that advertises itself with showy yet infertile blooms along its periphery. No need to remind it that real nectar must be offered to attract for long. 86. No frame, no thought. Without a frame, that is, a border or limit of some kind, there can be no relevant differences. Without relevant differences, that is, meaningful contrast or distinctions, there can be no thought. This is evidently so simply because without frames, there would be nothing to think about. If thought is for whatever reason active, and there are no relevant differences present within the field of perception, thought will itself fabricate non-existent differences in order to occupy itself. This shows us why, in both science and art, the function of frames is perceptually essentially the same, even though the actual content they outline may be radically different. In both science and art, we may put frames potentially in the wrong place, and therefore ask the wrong questions, or we may create potentially inappropriate or false frames, that is, frames which tacitly tell us that there is something relevant or important inside, while in fact, this is not the case. The thought of all frames, the frame which holds the whole, including all of thought itself, is evidently where our thinking itself must properly come to a stop. This is so because we evidently cannot go beyond this limit, although we can never say for sure when or where this limit has been reached. There are those inventions which impose structure on the mind, forcing us to think in unnatural ways, as we might walk with one foot tied behind the back. And there are those inventions which are already implicit in the workings of the mind at its very best, letting us create with all the ease of freely flowing water. The humble hyperlink, tying together all the unique thoughts of the world without arbitrary limit or boundaries, brings home and makes explicit a key fact of the new era, that the mind of humanity is indeed somehow one. Internet ABC. A. A wire through which people, in relevant new meaning, are brought freely together. Or B. A wire through which it is easier and easier to say more and more things which are less and less worth knowing. Or C. A worldwide network of trails, a path of all peoples, moving on foot from center to center to center, thereby bringing the potential of A forcefully down to earth, and allowing it to fully, that is, actually, flower. Stealth, secrecy, security. For every weapon, there's a counterweapon. For every defense, a counterdefense. For every firewall, a way of breaking through. For every scheme of encryption, a key. Where does this all end? Oh, dangerous dance, when at last all movement of communion lies frozen in fear, and even innocent children are suspect. 90. Let me remind myself here. Do not confuse density for intensity, randomness for the unexpected, complicatedness for complexity, sentimentality for simplicity, intellectual virtuosity for subtlety, length for depth, or merely a loud voice for vitality. 91. We rehearse information, but perform meaning. Information is like the web of links in a wire fence. Meaning is like the cascade of waves on a mountain stream. One we can stitch together endlessly, capturing what we're looking for and keeping out what we don't want in. The other, just by drawing a circle around it, vanishes before our eyes. 92. Whether or not the seeds of new meaning set root and flourish depends not so much on any form of promotion or publicity, but rather on their strength of resonance with our inner need for clarity and truth. '93. Simplicity. In politics, the most radical idea is simplicity. In art, the most difficult idea is simplicity. In science, the most necessary idea is simplicity. In religion, the most mysterious, arduous, complex idea is simplicity. '94. Path of peace. Nowhere are the paths of violence and peace related. Nowhere do they cross. The whole sees war as but the left hand of humanity fighting against the right. Compassion sees war not as two sides, but as two rooms in but one house, now burning itself to the ground. Intelligence sees war as perpetually unnecessary conflict. Name one thing humanity needs more of than less unnecessary conflict. '95. Path of violence. Violence is like a pool of poison water threatening the river of life. Gazing out over the whole of the river, one sees that answering violence with violence never stops the corruption of the water, but rather becomes a part of the pollution itself. Violence is like a fire raging in the house of love and good intentions. Never putting out the flames, answering violence with violence is the fuel that burns the house to the ground. Violence is like a noise, drowning out the symphony of all peoples. Answering violence with violence, noise replaces music, soon becoming the only sound we know. '96. How complicated the ways we wander once truth is lost. How without meaning the waste. '97. The most creative of all acts is that of bringing people together in new, unknown ways. It is also the most arduous. What could be more urgent or necessary than this? '98. Dialogue is like a journey we make together on foot through unknown terrain. Where we do not move as one, we simply stop and start over again. '99. Every well-made path was once only a possibility. Because it is well-made, daily use only makes it more beautiful. '100. On the way, what was once a gift of chance sometimes becomes necessities, next step into the unknown.